good evening. Welcome to the house of God this Wednesday night. I hope you've had a good week in the Lord. And it's we had a wonderful time outside of the Bible clubs with the kids. Had a lot of visitors tonight. A lot of kids were invited that don't normally come. And praise the Lord for that. That was a tool used to allow them to know that we do have a Bible club here. And thank you for inviting folks. Doesn't happen unless we put it, open our mouth up. Say, hey, we got this going on at the church. We got another opportunity this Sunday morning. The sunrise service, 7 o'clock. The instrumental group is going to be playing all three congregationals that we're going to have out there. Brother Noah's going to sing for us with his guitar again. And so... I think if we could, we got the cooks cooking. They've got four men that's volunteered, and their family's going to be cooking. If we could have a couple of men show up at least by 6:30, 6:20, that's not cooking or anything, and help us set up chairs, that'd be a big blessing. And 7 o'clock, we'll start straight away. We'll have some singing, some praise, some preaching, and then we'll have a breakfast together afterwards. So we can hang around in fellowship and enjoy Resurrection Sunday. And then we'll start our normal Sunday school hour at 10 o'clock. We'll still have church at 10 o'clock, Sunday school. And if you've not been involved in Sunday school hour, what a time to try it out. You're already going to be here at 7 o'clock, watching the sun come up, thinking about the resurrected Lord, and then eating a full meal. What better place than to rest your belly than to go to Sunday school? And then 11 o'clock, morning worship, right here, Resurrection Sunday, probably one of the biggest Sundays we'll have. Have a lot of visitors here. Very important that we are smiling, ready to receive them, ready to greet them, showing them hospitality. They might not never come to another service till Christmas. Who knows that they have till Christmas? Be faithful and reach out to them. Make yourself available. See them come in. Go in and say hello. Glad you're here. Don't say, oh, one of them Easter guys. Have some coof. Y'all didn't even know Pastor used that word, did you? Do you come to Christmas service too? No, don't. Please don't. Be thankful they're here and greet them and be glad they're here. It's a tool. It's an opportunity. The sunrise service is an opportunity. They may come to the sunrise service, not even stay for breakfast, go back home. But it's a tool. You use it as such that they will be found, opportunity to present the gospel. So if we can have a couple of men show up early, instead of coming right at 7, if you can come. You say, Pastor, what happens if all the men show up? We get all the chairs up. What happens if we just kneel around the flagpole and pray a little bit? Y'all thought I'd just have y'all standing around twiddling your thumbs. There's a lot of stuff to go on. A lot of stuff. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. On the bus that went to the youth rally both Friday night and Saturday, there was a looped gold earring found in there. Ladies, so if you lost it, if you'll come right out to the bus when we get done, you can identify and pay the ransom. So just come on out there and we'll release it as soon as the ransom paid. So it had to have been either Sunday morning when Brother Victor took folks home or Saturday. It was used all 3 days in a row. Isn't that a blessing? Have a van and be used 3 days in a row. So if you lost it, come claim it. You can have it. We won't charge you for a full tank of gas. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And then we're going to turn over after we read here verses 1 through 8, and we're going to read over in Philippians chapter 3 just for a little bit and talk about this subject, all about Jesus. All about Jesus. Now listen, preaching on money and prosperity, marriage, healing, miracles, preaching on tongues, preaching on homosexuality, family life, abortions, and educating the young or feeding the needy. These are all common messages that we'll hear in our day and age which we live in. Kind of a how-to type deals. Some helpful, some needful. Some that are probably just to puff up the speaker to let us know how much knowledge he has or she has and in what circle you're running around in. But we need to make much about Jesus. And whatever messages come forth, whether it is about money, prosperity, marriage, healing, miracles, tongues, dear friend, if it ain't about Jesus, we're missing them all. You know, we're missing it. Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, if you listen to what he says, he said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you," listen to what he said, "save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that came to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of the world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." And around this time, then years ago, they done riched up the Lord, took him and into the pilot, into the hall there, and had several illegal court sessions. I mean, they come and arrested him, took him up, and thought they knew what they were doing. They were fulfilling Scripture for sure. They were definitely fulfilling Scripture. You think about Pilate. As Pilate was trying to figure this thing out, he was trying to please them politically and stay out of trouble with his wife. Didn't his wife come to him and say, "Hey, leave this guy alone. I had a bad dream last night." So he's trying to please them politically, and they knew they had him. That's why they brought up, you know, Rome, Caesar. He had to make a decision. You're talking about peer pressure. He had so much peer pressure on him, he said, "I find nothing wrong with him, but just so I can kind of get out of this here, go scourge him real good. Go scourge on him, and, you know, beat him, whip him. And then let's let them look at him and see." And they were dead set on it. But the Bible says here, "which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." They had known 3 days he was going to rise again. And he was going to bring, I mean, he was going to take the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and he was going to swallow up death and its sting. And it was going to bring redemption. It was going to bring yea and amen. I am the I am. They wouldn't have done it. Paul said, "Brother, I came to you, and I didn't come with excellency of speech But he could have. He said, I didn't come with you with excellent speech of wisdom. Well, go to Philippians 3. Philippians chapter 3. You have the testimony of the Apostle Paul. We're familiar with this. I've read it before. We've looked at it. Philippians 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same thing to you. To me, indeed, it's not grievous, but for you, it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh. Paul said this, I more. And then he gives us the reason. Verse 5, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting of the church, touching the righteousness, which is the law, blameless. But that what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Paul said, I come to you, brother. And Paul could have stood in the excellency of speech. It's recorded in history books back then that Paul was a man of different languages. Very educated, sit under the feet of Gamaliel, learned. He had the wisdom of man, but he understood something that as he stood before people, he and his gains, which were nothing to be ashamed of, I mean, touching the law to be blameless, I mean, that's quite a feat. I don't know about you, dear friend. When he's talking about the law, he's not talking about just the ten. He's talking about all these man-made laws that the Pharisees had done come up with. I mean, a bunch of them. You remember they approached Jesus and said, hey, what do you mean your disciples are eating them without washing hands? I mean, they had all kinds of laws. And Paul said, blameless for... As far as it goes, Pharisee. I mean, I've gained quite a bit of knowledge, religious knowledge, plus secular knowledge. He was a tent maker by trade. He made tents. But Paul said, when I came to you, and I came to preach, and I didn't come with enticing words. I didn't come with you... So people would remember me. I wanted to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ. I wonder what it is when we, in our devotions, in our study of the Word of God, in our meditating of the Scriptures, I wonder what our target is. What is your target? Why do you meditate? Why do you search the Scriptures? We should be. The Bible declares in Acts that the Berean church, the people at Berea were more noble because they searched the Scriptures daily. But there has to be a purpose. You know, there's a lot of folks that search the Scriptures, I believe, Brother Paul, is so that they can show that they have more knowledge than the other one in the Bible. And they have more knowledge up here, but there's no action in their life. They have more knowledge of the Word of God, but they miss the main point of Jesus. John the Baptist said it best the way we can anybody can say it. Of course, he was guided by the Holy Spirit of God, but it was for our learning and our understanding. He must increase, and we must decrease. I wonder how many times we prepare Sunday school teachers. I'm speaking to myself. I teach Sunday school. Do we prepare so that we can show our students how much we know? That we can, you know, what is it? We got our homiletics and our hermeneutics and our down to a T. And man, look at what. Or are we just hoping that we reflect Christ? You have the sun, you have the moon, and that is a picture of how we're to be. The moon don't shine by itself; it shines because reflecting off the sun. And I wonder. And Paul said, I didn't come with you with wisdom. Paul wanted us to know that Christ was all in all. I wonder if he's your all in all. Listen, I want to encourage you. I want you to study the Word of God. I want you to hide the Scriptures in your heart. But I don't want it to be so you can be a show-off. I want it to be so that you can have a better relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So that as you know that, you observe it. You know, the Bible says that we may know Him in the power of what? Power of His resurrection. Through how? You've got to get in to know Him. Our whole aim as we study the Scripture. I mean, get in there. It's all about Him. From Genesis to Revelation, in the volume of the book, says Hebrews. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's not the church, but it's Christ. And I'll tell you different. If Christ is the head of every local church like the Bible meant for it to be, the church will be great, whether the size of the church body is 10, 12, 15, 20, 20,000. But as soon as Christ is not the head and the body's moving and dragging the head around, we get whiplash real quick. Anybody ever had whiplash? I mean, you get stiff. How many stiff churches you know? You wonder, you know, you had a church nurse, she'd be coming around taking pulses. Some are just stiff. Because Jesus isn't the head. Jesus is alive forevermore, dear friend. And if Jesus is alive, He expects the church to be alive. We are a living organism. We're not a museum. No, listen. It's not Christianity. It's Christ. Because Christianity has spread so far and broad. I mean, the definition of Christianity is, it's not like they took a 6-inch brush. I mean, they just got them some cans and just spray painted. Wherever the paint falls, Christianity. To be a Christian is to be Christ-like, is to be a little Christ. They were first called Christians at Antioch. I guarantee you some of the stuff that they call Christian nowadays don't match no Bible. It just sounds good. It's not the system of the church and the way it operates. The Bible says, unless He build the church, we labor in vain. Build the house. So unless He build the house, we labor in vain. So, we've got to be careful, dear friends, that we don't come to church when the message is presented that we come to get our feelings pumped up. Or we don't come to get our intellect charged up, but that we come that we might know Him. Why do we come to church? That's an important question, dear friend. Why do we study the Bible? I surely hope is that we can know more about Jesus. I mean, I don't want to, you know, what a waste of time, Brother Don, if we just sharpen our swords on each other on how much we know. Because it's going to come down to vain babbling. Because eventually we're going to both run out of knowledge where our brag is going to come to an end. And then we got to start making up stuff. Well, Brother Don, I know you got me on that last one. But 572,000 angels can fit on the head of a pin. Well, how do you know that? Because. And then it becomes vain babbling. It becomes all about us. All about what we know. Listen, the sum substance of the gospel is what? Christ. So the whole substance of the gospel is Christ. His person, His office, who He was and what He came to do. If you have the gospel without Christ, dear friend, you've got just a nutshell. It's empty too. Christ. Paul said, listen, dear friend, I came, the brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech, but he could have stood with it. He could have. He said, I didn't come with wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony. He said, for I am determined not to know anything. In verse 2, among you say Jesus Christ and him crucified. I wonder if knowing more about the Mount Horeb or the Red Sea event is more important in our life than knowing more about Jesus. There's people that's what they love. There's nothing wrong with it. I want you to know about the mountain. It's important. It's in the Bible. But I want you to know about Jesus. Study the Bible to find out about Him. Because if we don't keep our mind focused on Him, we have the mind of Christ. If we don't keep our mind focused on Him and we get running around on them rabbit trails, dear friend, before long, we are very good at biblical geography. We know about all the places throughout the lands of the Bible. Listen, our maps become more wore out than Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John. We got more writings on the back. I don't know if y'all have maps. I don't have no maps. But, you know, in the back of the Bible, sometimes they got maps. Sometimes we got more markings back there in the back of the maps than we do throughout the Word. Listen, I want you to be biblical. We got to be biblical. There's too much biblical ignorance in this world today. I don't want you to remain ignorant. There's really no reason, especially if you're saved. The Holy Spirit of God lives in you. Well, I can't afford a Bible, Pastor. Listen, Dollar Tree selling them all day long for a dollar and whatever the tax is for. And if you can't sum up a dollar, we got New Testaments, we'll give you. So if you have the Holy Spirit of God, you say you've got the Holy Spirit of God, you got the Word, the Holy Spirit of God gives us an unction, teaches us. That's His job. That's His job. Paul said, I ain't come with you with enticing words. If I want you to come prepared, listen, to get something from God, we got to make preparations. I want you to come prepared. The Bible tells us, cast our cares upon Him, for He careth for us. Take His yoke upon Him. Learn of Him. But preparation, dear friend, I believe, begins before we drive up to the parking lot. Sometimes I know the day gets away from us, Brother Biz. I mean, it's getting busy. But that's why the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Meditate day and night about Jesus. I do believe, dear friend, the more we know about Jesus, the more we spend time with Jesus, the better reflector of Jesus will become. I do believe that. Paul said, I didn't come with enticing words. So I want you to come and I want you to be prepared. But I don't want you to turn off. You know, if I get up here and I stumble over some words and I can't pronounce a particular Bible name, I don't want you to get off. You don't get turned off and say, man, I could have gotten better than this on the radio. I guarantee you probably could have. But the Bible says, forsake not assembling yourselves as a manner of some is. See, Jesus started local church in His earthly ministry while He was alive, not radio stations. And if you get more involved in the radio, well, they got all kind of hypocrites down there. They got hypocrites everywhere. I'm telling you, we all hypocrites in some shape, form, or fashion. But Jesus has never been a hypocrite. And I want to come learn more about Jesus. So if I come and I don't have enticing words, don't cut me off. Text me a poem or something that's proper. You know, I got a friend. I don't know him real close and personal, but I do know him. And his testimony is that because of drugs and alcohol, when he was younger and not going to school, not finishing stuff that measure, he was not capable or able to read till he got saved. You know how he learned to read? He got the audio Bible, and he got a Bible. He listened to the audio Bible, and he followed along. And that's a pretty good reader. And he's a preacher. I wonder how many... He's just not quite educated enough. Paul said, I ain't come with wisdom, man. I come to know nothing but Jesus. So, you know, when I stumble on one of those words, and if it turns you off a little bit, you know what you need to do? Lord, give him more about Jesus. Give him more Jesus. You know what the Bible said about the Pharisees, the Sadducees over in the book of Acts? The Bible said this about Paul, about Peter, when he was being arrested and being scourged. Said they knew that he was an ignorant, unlearned man, but they took note of him because he had been with Jesus. That's what it says in the book of Acts. I think Acts chapter 5, somewhere around in there. Paul said, I didn't come with enticing. You tell me Paul couldn't have showed up with enticing words. Paul could have spoke some words. I mean, that they were like, wow, what in the world was that? So if I stumble over some words and you find it cutting you off, it might be something wrong in your spirit. You know what you might need to say? Lord, thank you for choosing that base man to be my pastor. What? That's how God said he chooses. Base things confound the wise. Thank you, Lord. Lord, would you help pastor spend more time with you so that when he's up there, we know more about Jesus. Paul said, I didn't come with enticing words. He came declaring the testimony of God. I don't want you ever to come to church and when I start to tell a story, I see you sit up. But then I turn to the scripture and you slump. I want you to be just excited when I read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, than when I tell a story. Because I'm going to tell you, the Bible is more important than that story. That story will pass away, but the Word of God is going to abide. It is going to abide. Paul said he even come trembling. I think that's what it said there in verse 3. And I was with you in weakness. And in fear and much trembling. I'll tell you, it's different. It's a fearful thing to stand before people. I got folks here that's been saved longer than I've been alive. Brother David, Sister Barbara, how long y'all been saved? Long time? 67 years. 57. That's 7 more years that I've been alive, and I've got to stand up here and preach to them. But Carl, how long has Sister Carolyn been saved? You think this ain't trembling? I've got to stand in this pulpit and preach to folks that have been saved longer than I have been alive. It can't be about pastors. It's got to be about the Word of God. It's got to be about Jesus, because if not,